Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I'm joined by one of my quite literal favorite ABMers. It's Amber Bogie, who is the Director of Go-to-Market and Account-Based Innovation at GoTo. Amber, thank you for like gracing us with your presence and kind of walking through how you're setting up some innovative things when it comes to account-based at GoTo.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be a guest on your podcast.
I mean, quite literally, I was talking to some people about you joining the show, and they're like, oh, yeah, she's like easily one of the top 10 ABMers of all time. So no pressure. But I'm excited you're here and gracing us with some of your thoughts just around, like, again, you're relatively new in the role. And, you know, right before we pressed record, we were thinking through in the title is innovation. So, like, you've been specifically hired to kind of break stuff and, like, figure out how do we maybe have a more modernized go-to-market in our approach. So I'm just really curious, first of all, like when you were interviewing for this role, like was that the full title or how did you even get this job?
That's a fun story. How did I even get here? How did we come up with the title? Well, as many of us have, in the last couple of years, market's been rough. So I actually had a transition from an organization, and so I was always on the market. And man, your network really can be like your saving grace when it comes to, you know, being in a situation like that. Really, I was very, very fortunate to have a good amount of people who, you know, who reached out to me or spoke with me. And my now boss, Chris Thompson, he actually was one person that reached out to me and, you know, wanted to know if I'd be interested in chatting. So how the whole process really went was kind of understanding the happenings of GoTo and what the recent changes in the business. And in the last several months, there have been quite a few large changes, including, you know, executive leadership, new CMO, Peter Mahoney, he was bringing in, you know, a handful of the team, Chris Thompson, he was also recently brought in. So lots of new blood in addition to just kind of general changes in the organization. So the really cool and very unique part about this interview process was actually getting to design the role throughout the interview process, which I hadn't experienced that before. So it was very much this is the situation here. These are the priorities and the focuses. These are the areas that we want, you know, your experience, your strategy, your expertise. And, you know, the words innovation came up. When it came down to kind of defining the role and the title, I was very strong. Like I felt very strongly about having the word GTM or acronym GTM in my title. Because I have seen, you know, GTM become a thing that actually is front and center in the conversation where it wasn't, I don't know, 5 years ago. The interconnectedness of ABM and GTM, it felt like it gave me, I don't want to say the authority, but the opportunity to make innovative changes to the go-to-market. And that is not just like a demand gen team. That is not just like a section of a business. And so, yeah, that's kind of just a little bit of an overview of how it came to be. And what's probably the most interesting thing about the role in particular is, whereas in my entire career, I had been a leader, a team, you know, a team owner, a strategy owner, pipeline owner, you name it. This role is actually much more of an advisory consultative role. So I'm much more like an in-house go-to-market and account-based advisor. So the go-to-market innovation, the account-based strategies, all of that, you name it, is coming from a looking at the whole picture, working with the various team members, aligning on what's been done, where are their gaps, and where we should move forward, and kind of putting a plan in place and saying, this is what's recommended, and this is how we get there. And so it's still, I'm on month three at a 3,000 person organization. So, you know, still early days, but we've had some good progress for 3 months, I guess.
Yeah, I just want to call out three things specifically. One, I wasn't kidding when I said, like, in at least the ABM world, you are one of the top 10 that I would credit as having made massive impact on, like, how we actually think practicalities around ABM. And, like, good on you for actually, for lack of, like, you didn't use the word demanding, but, like, you were very clear of, like, I want to be in GTM. I think that gives a level of authority and respect that, in order for me to do my role effectively, which is what you want me to do, like, I need that title. Like, good on you for, like, actually knowing your worth. I know a lot of people, myself included, often struggle with that. So, like, I love the story. And what I want to get into is, I think, again, to put it bluntly, I think you have, from a structure perspective, I'm sure that there's always challenges, but from a structure perspective, kind of sounds like an incredible opportunity and role where you've been given, free reign's not the right word, but you've been given the opportunity to just kind of not be siloed and to look and say, here are all of the things, let's actually build a plan and effectively build this out together. So again, I think a lot of people have silos and they don't want to be in silos. So I'm curious, what I'd love to dig into is, let's rewind back to day one and work through the past 3 months. Like, how did you actually functionally get started in understanding the business to build out the account-based go-to-market motion?
Oh, that's a good question. And at any point, direct me or redirect me in this particular arena, because it's probably long-winded. Yeah, so I guess, you know, in a lot of kind of your, you know, more traditional roles, let's say, like, I don't want to say it's easier, because everything's hard. We're always challenged. The 30, 60, 90 kind of plan, like, first month is, you know, fire hydrant. Second month is, you know, how are we going to, you know, is absorbing all of the water into your body and then deciding, like, what the plan. And the third month, it's like action. There was I'd say, like, a relatively good balance of fire hydrant information and opportunity to observe while also, you know, making micro kind of impacts. Those micro impacts really just came in the way of making, you know, small suggestions to things that we were doing, knowing the direction that we were going to be heading. That being said, probably important to share that there are two major pillars of business, so business units. Within those business units, there's a multitude of products within those. So offhand, just like, it's, I don't know, it's like 11. Like, there's a lot of there are some main products we have. But, like, in totality, there's a decent amount, historical acquisitions, what have you. So going about this in the way that I had done it the last 7 years, I mean, it's looked different everywhere, but it had been, I want to say, probably 6 years since I had done a multi-product company. So there was that kind of, you know, needing to re-screw on my head and think about things differently. And then there's also the international team. And then not talking about the e-commerce team or the partner team. The two kind of main focuses and those pillars that I was talking about are the revenue teams that own the products that have the most need for an account-based strategy. So there was a significant amount of kind of figuring out what had been done, because you go into a lot of organizations that have already started or made an attempt at their strategy, and it's no negative on anyone ever. The reason that people like me and you get brought into these roles is because they figured out, oh, wait, we need help. We need somebody who has like deep expertise, or we need a dedicated body, that kind of thing. So it's looking at what efforts have been made and where do we go from there? How much do we need to skew and pivot? I think for me, probably one of the biggest aha moments I had was that ABM only makes sense in a particular segment, within particular products, within particular even geos. And that was, it took me a minute to say, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this different.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that you were likely brought in to build ABM everywhere. And just like the first expectation you had to break immediately, which is, well, probably not everywhere. Like, it's probably only going to make sense in these specific regions. And maybe we can take some account-based principles that we learned through our program build to other areas. But like, pure play ABM programs are probably only going to work in, like, if I had to just make an assumption, higher ACV, longer sales cycle, like multiple department involvement purchase decisions in the actual program.
Yeah, you like nail right on the head right there. And so for me, it was figuring out both how do we build that true ABM function, which is definitely going to take longer and is more further out from, you know, today than the, what you had mentioned before, taking principles. And that's where I think the go-to-market innovation part comes in, right? And, you know, part of the role requires being thoughtful, strategic, and you know, like it's not my budget, my team, the way it used to be. So it's how do I insert myself and insert myself across a lot of these different teams. Even though I'm seen as the expert, there's very much a deep relationship, you know, that needs to be formed before, you know, certain suggestions are made. And to be quite frank, I think it's really important that my partner in this, on the like on the revenue side, is in alignment and agreement, because it's their strategy, it's their budget, it's their team. And I really am not a fan of, and this is what we're doing because I think so, and this is just the change we're going to make. Like, I'm just, that's not who I am as a person or how I like to work in any capacity. So there's that. But back to kind of the go-to-market, taking that and using it is exactly that. How do we take account-based principles and how do we layer them over what we've been doing for a really long time? How do we improve that? So it's ultimately, for me, like, I don't really care or have a preference for the type of strategy. I feel like I've become pretty strategy agnostic. And what I care about is efficiency and impact and how we're getting there. So we look at how are we doing things now from like a traditional marketing standpoint, very traditional lead driving, MQL driving, very top of funnel heavy. How can we just bring in that one to many? How can we layer that across the demand strategy and be thoughtful about it? And then, you know, how do we keep the MQL motion and funnel, which will continue to exist, is not going anywhere, and start to what I refer to as breadcrumb, the account-based metrics, the account-based kind of thought process on the impacts, because they're totally different.
Yeah, I mean, I've got three or four specific questions just around when you talk about this idea of breadcrumbing. Can you get a little bit more into some examples of what that functionally means? Because so many people are trying to make that transition from an MQL to an ABM model. They do it for a quarter. They're like, oh, ABM sucks and it fails. Let's go back to our MQLs and convert it like 0.01%. So I'm just curious, like, what do you mean by breadcrumbing?
Good question. I'll preface with, like, by no means do I think that I have it figured out. This is what I like to do, and this is what works for me. And sometimes I think working behind the curtain and in the shadows for a period of time is much more effective and beneficial to making these changes. So there's that, just like as a thought. I've done the like center stage, PR, account base, life changing. Like, it's not the greatest, even though we love an exact buy-in. We love, you know, a one team alignment on the strategy. We don't love the tomorrow expectation for how this is going to fix everything. So part of that is like, bear in mind when I think about this, you know, breadcrumb, but it's also exactly what you mentioned. And I've referred to it a lot when I was at Reach Desk as the kind of, because we had the inbound, we had the outbound motion, we had the, you know, the traditional demand gen, and we had the account based. And I always referred to it as two faucets. We had one going full blast for a long time. Now we are not just going like this, because this one, it takes a while to get that water pressure. So all we're doing is slowly starting to open up the water on the right side while keeping the left side going. And the goal is always to have each of them moving. That's why I just think about kind of like your inbound and your outbound motion, like your budget splits, all of that. But speaking specifically to like the kind of breadcrumb metrics, for me, it's a slow change management. It's the training wheels of your metrics. It's running a campaign the same way that you have before. It's become an integrated campaign, multiple pieces across the stages of the funnel, multiple channels. If you have your traditional metrics, you keep them there. What you do is you add ABM metrics. You add how many, you know, if it's the first campaign, like it's something as simple as, you know, just looking at the engagement stages. That's a very, very kind of like early. I'm completely preferential to the QAs. Like, give me the QAs. It's all I care about. And then, of course, the conversions thereafter. But so, I mean, one of the things we're doing now, the breadcrumbs that I'm having, is having the team run the campaigns, adding in the integrated kind of motion of that. But then in addition to their standard metrics, what are the QAs for this campaign? And like, how do we just adding QAs, simply looking at from those QAs, how many opportunities? And that just is getting the muscle moving and comfortable instead of ripping the whole rug from underneath everybody.
And when you say QAs, you mean qualified accounts, correct?
Yes. Okay. MQA, 6QA, RQA, whatever you want to call them. Yes, yeah. The qualified accounts.
Perfect. Yeah, and I really recommend for a lot of people, like their first ABM program should actually probably just be like an account-based promotion program that promotes to specific accounts and existing programming, because it's exponentially easier to get started. You can then start to track some of your engagement metrics. And you're not like you said, pulling the rug out from under people and just saying like, oh, we're going to shut down all of our demand gen programs. And like, maybe just be a more thoughtful and intentional on who we exactly promote to and get involved in our other programming.
Yeah.
So so far, it sounds like the first 90 days, what you've already done is take an inventory to understand where is ABM even viable within the context of the organization. Unfortunately, I had to reset some expectations that we will not be doing ABM everywhere. We will be doing ABM or account-based go-to-market in specific parts of the business. We'll take principles around intentionality, but like pure play ABM programs will probably only be in certain parts of the business. And it sounds like you're starting to shift the perspective on how we measure success and being less like full funnel demand gen focused and more like what accounts we want to have as our customers and how we measure their account progression. I'm hearing all that correctly for first 90 days.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You've been busy. The only other couple questions that I have, and I really love the call out just in general of like the alignment with sales. And I think that a lot of marketers need to take this perspective because as we've been helping clients with our, some of their ABM programs, we even have clients verbalize to us, God, I wish I could get some sales budget. Like I wish that I could split this program because it's such a big sales program too. And it's, they haven't figured out how to communicate the success to sales. So I'm just curious on that front, like, because in a lot of ways you just outlined, it's not your team, it's not your budget, but it is a lot of the programs you're helping to build. How are you communicating the value and getting that buy-in so that it can be everybody going in on it together?
So interesting situation. Unlike any place I've ever gone in to build or support an account-based strategy, sales was already deeply bought in. In fact, one of our sales leaders was the pioneer of the motion and getting it to, you know, it necessitating person like me. There is also a salesperson. So I have a sales counterpart whose focus is to be the sales driver from an account-based motion. So the buy-in is there. The enablement is still something we need to work on deeply. I'd say our challenges around specific to us are really just the mass and scale of the organization, truly. I think that we can call ourselves lucky for having a team that's really bought in. It's more that delicate balance of between the buy-in and the enablement and then the execution and impact. There's a lot of kind of high risk there because if it just doesn't make sense or they're not seeing, you know, the impact, that's where you can lose. Or because we have such a massive team, are we missing anybody? Are we missing anybody in that enablement? It's global here. So there's a lot of nuances to consider, but fortunately, my sales counterpart, he started maybe a month or so before me. And he had already been really like waving the flag of the impacts even before we had, I wouldn't even say like the QA model built or before we had the ability to measure any sort of QA op creation of how much influence that they were seeing and how much quicker, you know, they were seeing their sales cycle go or how many touches. And even today we had talked about that in our account-based leadership council. We talked about the impacts there because we just put our QA stamp in, which is like the, from today onward, like the data lives. And so it's always kind of fun to see in like the first 30, 60, 90, like the benchmarks start rolling in after a while. It's amazing. But, you know, we've seen some pretty great numbers in 30 days. I mean, even at Reach Desk, I remember within the first like month, 2 months of showing the QA stamp, we had 60% of all of our pipeline was QA'd. So it was like, yeah, this is working. We've got some great numbers. So we're seeing some good numbers, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have benchmarks in like, let's call it a month and a half.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you were correct in the sense that you got lucky to have somebody that was on the sales side waving the flag, because you just made it kind of makes things exponentially easier to get the buy-in when you've got someone that's on that side. So, like, also good on the go-to leadership team for thinking through that. Like, that's sounds like one of the things that we talked about on the past episode is just the culture that is required to actually make ABM work effectively. And it sounds like GoTo has built a pretty fantastic culture around the actual building out the program and getting the alignment and everybody on the same page. And then just the recognition of let's build out the model so we can start to capture the data, and then we'll activate on the data as we capture it and have very effective benchmarks. So we actually know like what is the baseline. It was Davis earlier in the podcast. It was like, if you're trying to make your benchmarks, try to measure up against your own data. from an engagement perspective first, because everyone's definitions are all different. So if you compare it to a different organization, then your benchmarks will be off because you don't actually know what their definition was.
Yeah, no, yes. benchmarks. Many of us are aware that there aren't really benchmarks external to, like, there just aren't. And like, there's the typical 3x everything. And I attest to the 3x because I've done it before. You 3x pipeline, you 3x like this, you put it, you know, it's like you do it. But that's not necessarily enough direction and clarity. And I think, and maybe it's just because I've been doing this so long, Mason, like, I'm like, we don't have to overthink it. We're not rebuilding wheels here. We got this. We're marketers. We can do this. When it comes to setting, you know, your metrics, and I just like, that's where it comes back to me of like the GTM part of my title matters so much, because even getting questions like, well, how much should we spend here? Like, what is an ABX? And I'm like, let's remove the ABX, remove the account based like marketing, remove that from our thought process. How are we spending our money now? How is it being spent efficiently? Like, what's our ROI? What is our cost per opportunity? Like, that is the same thing that we should be thinking about regardless. Yeah. And so back to my benchmark. Okay. So, I mean, I remember the very first time I did this, and I didn't, this was a long time ago. There wasn't anybody that was talking in groups. Like, I hadn't met a single ABM person in my life at this point. I just took the demand gen benchmarks. I said, well, what is our MQL to op conversion? Okay, well, if account base is supposed to be better, let's do better. Okay, let's increase it by, you know, let's call it 5%. Can we do that in a quarter? Okay, now we increase it some more. Like, it's just, that's the number one thing that I think everyone, no matter your role, no matter your group, no matter your seniority, gets stuck on. The over-engineering of the strategy. It's just good marketing.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes when someone was looking at ABM, it's like, isn't this just good media marketing? And the answer was, well, yeah. Shows you how bad most people are doing it. Anyway, the only other questions that I have are just around, again, roadblocks. So not necessarily to implementation, because I think you guys are still early, but just any roadblocks that you experienced in the process of kind of setting out, this is what we should expect. Because I feel like the first 90 days in your role has been resetting expectations and just setting, this is what reality should look like as we code to build this program.
Yeah, I'd say like the roadblocks are, again, probably for me most centered around the scale and size of the organization, right? So I came from a Series B. I could knock on the door of the person next to me and make a change pretty easily. There's a lot more people. There's a lot more decisions. There's just a lot more, I'd say, historical process, sometimes lack of process, but it's always been done this way. So it's just, you know, figuring that stuff out. I think that, you know, it probably comes down to a little bit of like navigating the process, actually having to kind of reset expectations around, you know, the pre-me discussions and the pre-me idea of what, you know, the future is going to be. And then, you know, what that looks like from a spend perspective and what actual movement do we have with what's in plan for this year? Because we, you know, not specific to go to, like, we as marketers, we're planning 6 months out, and then I mean, there's not a massive degree of change that can happen within a year. unless you planned it the year before. You don't just like throw away the entire strategy. So those are the, and I don't even think of that as a roadblock. I think that is a pretty ideal scenario because that gives you the breadcrumb opportunity. The challenge with that in particular is the narrative external of what are you doing? And that's just every marketer's problem for their entire existence. And, you know, what are the quick wins? How do we how do we shift the story so that, you know, if, you know, we're doing X, Y, Z, that we can present it as a really, you know, great impact. And asterisk to clarify, it is really great impact. Nothing's made up. All truths over here. But you know how you have to really just adjust the story where for me in my, you know, private, you know, little corner, you know, I'm saying like, oh, we're not doing this until 2025. I don't expect us to have, you know, this particular thing carved out until Q2 of 2025. What does that look like from the outside? It's just, you have to paint the picture to serve the business, which ultimately the most important thing is serving the business, driving value, driving revenue. And how you do that behind the scenes, really, that's why we're in seat, right?
Yeah. It kind of always comes back to internal marketing, unless like, because so much of ABM, especially early days, is piggybacking off of existing great programs with more intentionality around who we go after. Yeah, it's always hard to kind of communicate that value. So totally makes sense. Amber, thank you for joining us and just kind of working through, this is what the past 90 days of your life have looked like. I think it also, for people that are listening that are thinking about building an ABM program, especially in a larger scale organization, I think it sets realistic expectations because like this is not your first time building an ABM program. And it's taken 90 days of you in seat to understand the business, understand where the viable opportunities are, reset expectations, and start to track benchmarks so that you can effectively know if you're winning or losing when you go to build the program. Like, these things just take time if you want to build them correctly with great intentionality. So I appreciate you just kind of walking through that process with us. If people want to find you, where can they find you?
LinkedIn is where I live. Just my name, Amber Boki, on LinkedIn. That's my place.
Love it. Is there anything else you'd like to share with before we call today?
I'd say, you know, like I said earlier, just like my words of wisdom are really just that we don't need to overcomplicate it. One of the reasons that I was drawn to the account-based strategy was because it afforded me the opportunity to slow down and think about things and to be strategic. And I think as marketers, we have a particular set of skills. And I sincerely believe that we all have the ability to do this, whether we've done it before or not. And that not worrying about fitting in a particular box of it needs to look like this or that, because there are a million and one ways to get there. And the ultimate goal at the end of the day is to effectively drive revenue for the business. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more on just the, at the end of the day, marketers should always line back to revenue. And yes, there may be MQLs or leads or engagement metrics that we measure against, but they're all leading towards and pointing towards revenue. So you can ladder always back up to revenue. You should be pretty secure in your job. So Amber, thank you for the parting wisdom. Thank you for joining us. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.